Happy Sunday. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, my name is Jim DeGiunis for the North Carolina Reading Service, and the name of the program is Reflections. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from a daily devotional called Jesus Calling, written by Sarah Young, and from the Bible, the Holy Bible, as well as we'll open up with prayer. Now let's do that now. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for every day, and we thank you so very much for our audience. We thank you for the love that they have for this organization called North Carolina Reading Service. We thank you for their devotion. We thank you for their families. And Father, we thank you for the fine folks that work and volunteer here at North Carolina Reading Service. Father, we pray for our community. We pray for our state and our country and our world. And Father, we hope and we pray that the whole world looks towards you for answers and looks to you for love and peace and guidance. Father, we ask that the words spoken today will provide just that. May we be comforted by the words. May we be loved by your words. May we be find peace in your words. Bless the words I speak today, Lord. Bless the words that are listened to by the audience. Father, we thank you for this beautiful day, and we thank you for every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we are on the first Sunday of August, 2020. And Sarah Young teaches us on this day, bring me the sacrifice of your time, the most precious commodity. In this action-addicted world, few of my children take time to sit quietly in my presence. But for those who do, blessings flow like streams of living water. I, the one from whom all blessings flow, am so blessed by our time together. This is a deep mystery. Do not try to fathom it. Instead, glorify me by delighting in me. Enjoy me now and forever. Psalm 21, verse 6 teaches us, surely you have granted him eternal blessings and made him glad with the joy of your presence. The Gospel of John, chapter 7, verse 38, whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. And then back to Psalm 103, verse 11. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is the love for those who fear him. Wonderful words, as always, wonderful words that come to us from Sarah Young. It's wonderful. If you don't have that book or don't have a daily devotional, I encourage you to find one that you can get excited about opening every morning, to where it gives you a little, challenges your mind to think a little bit on how you go about your day, and then also supported by scripture. I try to take a scripture every few weeks and try to memorize it based on this book itself. It's helped my faith life tremendously. Last week and today, we continue to be educated on the important topics that a mentor, Paul, passes along to his star pupil, Timothy, and us. We learn about what's really important, as all of us are charged, not just Timothy, to the Church of Ephesus, but you and I, to our local homes, our communities, our churches, our organizations, the people we love. We are called to pass on the love of God, the love of Jesus Christ. And that's what we have today. We have 2 Timothy, which continues Paul's love for Timothy. And again, we go about with some early reading on some history. Famous last words is more than a cliche. When notable men and women of influence are about to die, the world waits to hear their final thoughts or insight or wisdom. Then those quotes are repeated worldwide. This is also true of a dying loved one. Gathered at his or her side, the family strains to hear every whisper, every syllable of blessing, encouragement, and advice, knowing that this will be the final message. One of the most knowledgeable, influential, and beloved men of history is the Apostle Paul, and we have his famous last words. Paul was facing death. He was not dying of a disease in a sterile hospital with loved ones gathered nearby. No, he was very much alive, but his condition was terminal. Convicted as a follower of Jesus of Nazareth, Paul sat in a cold Roman prison, cut off from the world, with just a visitor or two and his writing materials. Paul knew that soon he would be executed, so he wrote his final thoughts to his son, Timothy, passing to him the torch of leadership, reminding him of what was truly important and encouraging him in the faith. Imagine how Timothy must have read and reread every word. This was the last message from his beloved mentor. Because of the situation and the recipient, this is the most intimate and moving of all Paul's letters and his last. Paul's introduction is tender, and every phrase exudes the love he has for Timothy. He then reminds Timothy of the qualities necessary for a faithful minister of Jesus Christ. Timothy should remember his call and use his gifts with boldness. Keep to the truth, prepare others to follow him in the ministry, be disciplined and ready to endure suffering, and keep his eyes and mind focused on Jesus. Paul challenges Timothy to hold to sound doctrine, reject error, and avoid godless chatter. Correctly handle the word of truth and keep his life pure. Next, Paul warns Timothy of the opposition that he and other believers would face in the last days from self-centered people who use the church for their own gain and teach false doctrines. Paul tells Timothy to be prepared for these unfaithful people by remembering his example, understanding the real source of the opposition, and by finding strength and power in the Word of God. Then Paul gives Timothy a stirring charge to preach the Word and to fulfill his ministry until the end. Well, chapter 1, 2 Timothy. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God in keeping with the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve as my ancestors did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you, so that I might be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. Do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. He has not saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel, I was appointed a herald and an apostle of a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am. Yet this is no cause for shame, because I know whom I have believed, and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. Which you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching, with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard your good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives within us. You know that everyone in the province of Asia has deserted me, including Phlegas and Hermogenes. May the Lord show mercy to the household of Onophorus, because he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. On the contrary, when he was in Rome, he searched hard for me until he found me. May the Lord grant that he will find mercy from the Lord on that day. You know very well in how many ways he helped me in Ephesus. Chapter 2. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. Join with me in suffering like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. Similarly, anyone who competes as an athlete does not receive the victor's crown except by competing according to the rules. The hard-working farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops, Reflect on what I am saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all of this. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel for which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with the eternal glory. Here is a trustworthy saying. If we died with him, we will also live within him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will disown us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. I want to repeat that. Again, Paul writes, here is a trustworthy saying. If we died with him, we will also live within him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. Keep reminding God's people of these things. Warn them before God against quarreling about words. It is of no value and only ruins those who listen. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed or who correctly handles the word of truth. Avoid godless chatter, because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. Their teaching will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have departed from the truth. They say that the resurrection has already taken place, and they destroy the faith of some. Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription: the Lord knows those who are his, and everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from the wickedness. In a large house there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for special purposes, and some for common use. Those who cleanse themselves from the latter will be instruments for special purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. Flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of the pure heart. Don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments, because you know they produce quarrels. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. Opponents must be gently instructed, in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of truth, and that they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil, who has taken them captive to do his will. I'm going to repeat the last few verses here. And this is chapter 2, verse 22 through 26. And these are some really straightforward, easy commands that Paul gives to Timothy. And it reads, flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness. Pursue faith, pursue love, and pursue peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So he's telling us, you know, when we were young, we were doing things that we probably knew better that we shouldn't, but we still did them. We're mature now. We're mature in Christ. We're mature in age. Do what's right. Have faith. Love. Be peaceful. Along with those who call on them. So we're also being encouraged to surround ourselves with good people. People with pure hearts. Verse 23. Don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments, because you know that they produce quarrels. So we're being asked, we're being directed, we're being instructed that quarrels are not good. We should not worry about foolish conversation, foolish things that shouldn't get us upset. Verse 24, and the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but must be kind to everyone. Be kind to everyone, able to teach. Don't be resentful. Opponents must be gently instructed in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth, and that they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil, who has taken them captive to do his will. Wow, just great words of encouragement on how we should live our lives and how we should handle people that are opponents. Opponents must be gently instructed in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth, and that they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil. Chapter 3. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will become lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, holy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. Have nothing to do with such people. They are the kind who worm their ways into homes and gain control over gullible women, who are loaded down with sins and are swayed by all kinds of evil desires, always learning but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so also these teachers oppose the truth. They are men of depraved minds who, as far as the faith is concerned, are rejected. But they will not get very far because, as in the case of those men, their folly will be clear to everyone. You, however, know all about the teaching, my way of life, my purpose, my faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings, what kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. The persecutions I endured, yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. I want to repeat that. Everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Now, we may not be persecuted like Paul was, where he was, I believe he had come to being whipped three times and shipwrecked and stoned and of the other punishments that he received. I'm not suggesting that we will have to endure that, but we'll be persecuted, we'll be ignored, we'll be avoided by friends or family or others if we truly, truly follow Christ and his message. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evildoers and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and how you've become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed, and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every kind of good work. I'm going to repeat verse 16 and 17 of chapter 3. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Chapter 4. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will not put up with the second doctrine. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, to discharge all the duties of your ministry. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Do not do your best to come to me quickly, for Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me and has gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, and Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, because he is helpful to me in my ministry. I sent Tychius and to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Trios, and my scrolls, especially the parchments. Alexander, the metalworker, did me a great deal of harm. The Lord will repay him for what he has done. You too should be on your guard against him, because he strongly opposed our message. At my first defense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. May it not be held against them. But the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed, and all the Gentiles might hear it. And I was delivered from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack, and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet Priscilla and Aquila in the house of Onesiphorus. Erastus stayed in Corinth, and I left Trophimus sick in Miletus. Do your best to get here before winter. Eubulus greets you, and so do Prudence, Linus, Claudia, and all the brothers and sisters. The Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you all. And that concludes 2 Timothy. Again, we just heard two beautiful letters over the last 2 weeks from the Apostle Paul to his star pupil, to his quote-unquote son in the spirit, son in the faith, to carry on the charge. And he was very, very specific on how to do so. He was very passionate on what Timothy and you and I should be doing. We should be loving people. We should be peaceful. We should ignore foolish arguments, things that just aren't important. Why get upset? And we should very much look towards God for all the answers, and surround ourselves with good people, and pray. And I go back to the Gospels of Matthew and of Mark, and when Jesus was asked in both, what is the greatest commandment, Lord? And he said, to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your mind and with all your soul, and to love your neighbor as yourself. I had a conversation this morning with a dear friend, and we were talking about faith, and we were talking about faith in this current environment with coronavirus and the way the world is right now. And I brought this up, and if we truly, truly loved God with all our hearts and minds and souls, and Mark will tell you in our strength, and we love our neighbor as ourselves, we will be and should be wearing masks. Because it's not our own health we should just be worried about. It should be the health of others. And I thought that was just a really eye-opening comment, and one that I'm going to take very, very seriously going forward. We still have a few minutes here on today's program, and as we normally do when we do have that time, I'd like to go back to the book of Psalm. And we will start with Psalm 124. If the Lord had not been on our side, let Israel say, if the Lord had not been on our side when people attacked us, they would have swallowed us alive with their anger flared against us. The flood would have engulfed us. The torrent would have swept all over us. The raging waters would have swept us away. Praise be to the Lord who has not let us be torn by their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the fowler's snare, the snare that has been broken, and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Psalm 125. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken, but endures forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people both now and forevermore. The scepter of the wicked will not remain over the land allotted to the righteous, for then the righteous might use their hands to do evil. Lord, do good to those who are good, to those who are upright in heart. But those who turn to crooked ways, the Lord will banish with the evildoers. Peace be on Israel. Psalm 126. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. Restore our fortunes, Lord, like streams in the Negev. Those who sow with tears will reap with songs of joy. Those who go out weeping, carrying seeds to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with them. Psalm 127. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those who he loves. Children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their opponents in court. Psalm 128. Blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in obedience to him. You will eat the fruit of your labor. Blessings and prosperity will be yours. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like an olive shoot around your table. Yes, this will be the blessing for the man who fears the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. May you live to see your children's children. Peace be on Israel. And our final psalm today will be Psalm 129. They have greatly oppressed me from my youth, let Israel say. They have greatly oppressed me from my youth, but they have not gained the victory over me. Plowmen have plowed my back and made their furrows long, but the Lord is righteous. He has cut me free from the cords of the wicked. May all who hate Zion be turned back in shame. May they be like grass on the roof, which withers before it can grow. A reaper cannot fill his hands with it, nor can one who gathers fill his arms. May those who pass by not say to them, the blessing of the Lord be with you. We bless you in the name of the Lord. Well, thank you for listening to our program this day. We are so glad for you to have joined us. We have spent the last many months, since the beginning of the program, mostly in the New Testament, and then augmenting some Psalms when we have extra time. Next week, we are going to start a very important book in the Old Testament by the name of Isaiah. I'm really, really excited to read that, share that with you. Isaiah is 66 chapters long, so we will be spending quite a bit of time. I would anticipate at least 2 months and possibly going into 3 months on this exciting and historic and spirit-filled book. So we'll next week we'll kind of dive into it. We'll spend a little time going over the history of the writing of Isaiah, and we'll start the first few chapters as well. So may God bless you and your family this day. We've run out of time for reflections today. I hope you've enjoyed it. Again, the content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Peace. God bless you.